Chapter 13. The Accusation. Mr. Kirwin seemed a calm, gentle man, but he looked at me very severely. The witnesses came forward. One man said that he had been out fishing in the night with his son, but the wind had become very strong, and they went back to land. It was very dark, and as he was walking along the sand, his foot hit against something. It was the body of a dead man. They thought that someone had drowned, but the clothes were not wet. They carried the body into town. It was the body of a handsome young man, about 25 years old. He had probably been strangled, because there was no sign of violence except for the black fingerprints on his neck. When the fingerprints were mentioned, I remembered the death of my brother and became very perturbed. The magistrate saw my reaction, and he thought it was because I was guilty. The man's son then said that he had seen a boat with a single man in it a short distance from the beach. He said that he thought it was the same boat in which I had just landed. A woman who lived near the beach said that she had seen a boat with one man in it push off from that part of the beach where the body was found. Hearing all the evidence, Mr. Kirwin said that I should be taken into the room where the body lay to see the effect it had on me. I went into the room and looked at the body. The lifeless form of Henry Clerval lay in front of me. I can still feel the horror of that moment. I threw myself on the body of my friend and exclaimed, "Have I also murdered you, my dear friend? I have already been responsible for two deaths, but you, my friend, my..." I fell to the floor, unconscious, and was carried from the room. A strong fever followed. I lay ill for 2 months, almost on the point of death. I heard afterwards that my ravings were terrifying. I called myself the murderer of William, of Justine, and of Clerval. I felt the monster's fingers round my neck and screamed aloud. Fortunately, as I spoke in German, only Mr. Kirwin understood me, but my screams frightened other witnesses. I woke up as if from a dream 2 months later in a miserable prison cell. One day, while I was recovering, Mr. Kirwin came to see me. He looked at me kindly and started to speak. "I hope that the sympathy of a stranger may help you a little," he said. "It was awful for you to land in a strange country when the first thing that you saw was the body of your murdered friend." I was surprised that he knew so much about me. He told me that after I had fallen ill, he had asked to see the papers I had with me to try to find out who I was. He had found some letters among the papers, including one from my father, and had written to Geneva to tell them what had happened. "Your father came immediately," he said. "He is here to see you now." I was overjoyed to see my father and to learn that everyone in Geneva was safe and well. A month later, I was taken to court for trial. It was proved that I was on the Orkney Islands at the time the body of my friend was discovered, and I was set free. My father was delighted at the result of the trial, but I could not share his feelings. I could only see two eyes staring at me. Sometimes they were the eyes of Henry. Sometimes they were the watery eyes of the monster. My father talked to me of Geneva and Elizabeth and Ernest, but nothing he said could comfort me. I had to return to Geneva without delay, to look after the people I loved and to lie in wait for the monster. My father did not think I was well enough to travel, but I insisted, and soon we were on our way. We sailed to Le Havre in France, and then travelled to Paris. Before we left Paris on our way to Switzerland, I received a letter from Elizabeth. She told me how happy she was that I was better and that she would see me very soon. But she also wrote that she was troubled. She reminded me that my parents had always hoped that we would marry. She loved me and wanted to be my wife. But the thought had crossed her mind that perhaps I loved someone else. If I did, I must tell her. I must not feel obliged to honour my parents' wishes. She would be happy to remain my sister and dear friend. All she wanted was my happiness and good health. Elizabeth's letter reminded me of the monster's threat. I will be with you on your wedding night. The monster planned to kill me on that night. I would fight with him. If I won, I would be free. If I lost, I would also be free. I did not fear death. Death was less terrible to me than the loss of Elizabeth. There was no point in delaying our marriage. If I did so, the monster might find an even more abominable method of revenge. I wrote an affectionate letter to Elizabeth and told her that I loved her and wanted to marry her as soon as I returned to Geneva. I also said that I had a terrible secret that I would tell her the day after our wedding day. But until that day, she must never mention it. About a week after that, we returned to Geneva.